Good evening.
Good evening, brother.
If you will, turn with me to Revelation. And want to stick your finger in chapter 1 and then flip over to chapter 4. And we'll finish up the seven spirits of God tonight. Hopefully that this will help you understand a little bit more of who God is and what His attributes are. I guess the spirits that are in God and the spirits of God are more of His attributes. And when you know the attributes, you know how somebody acts, you know what His habitation that He forms around Him is, then you can hear a little bit better what He has to say to you. So in Revelation chapter 1, let's pick up verse number 4, and please stand for the reading of the word. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne. And flip over to chapter number 4 and verse number 5. John writing again after Jesus had spoken to him, he says, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." You may be seated. Now, as we went over the last time that I was here, the first one was the Spirit of the Lord. The second one was the Spirit of wisdom. The third one was a spirit of understanding. Spent a great deal of time in those three, because those are the main characteristics that the other four characteristics and the other four spirits of God hang on more than anything, folks. And it's just like I said before, we need to know the Spirit of the Lord. We need to know what that is. Now I'll run through tell you what those are. The Spirit of the Lord is knowing His authority. The Spirit of wisdom is having good sense and using it as a skill. We need to have good sense. Now, not just in dealing when we read the Bible, but God's Spirit to us is an everyday occurrence. Remember, we nailed down the fact that it lives in us, He is with us, and He produces in us His characteristics if we allow it. Sometimes we don't allow it. Sometimes we don't want it. Simply because God's characteristics goes against our Adam, goes against our flesh man, goes against our characteristics. It's aggravating to us when we have to love somebody. I don't know, I'm sure you still go through it at school when there's people that pick on people. There's always somebody to pick on somebody no matter where you're at. There's always somebody in the workplace who is the lesser, who does less work and don't do as much as anybody else. There's always, I guess you'd say, a bad guy in every sitting. And as long as that's happening, it's hard for you to come out of your flesh, get into the Spirit, and pray for and deal with that person as Christ would deal with them. I think so many times when I start to lose my temper, and I can tell you, today was challenging for me at work, but I picture Jesus sitting down at this table, right across, eye to eye, to the one He knew who would betray Him. And then He say, "You 11 go out, I'm enduding you all with powers, but you, Judas, you stay right here. I ain't giving you nothing. I ain't trusting you with anything." That's hard for us to do to our enemies. So we need to have that Spirit of God and allow these to work in us. And the Spirit of wisdom is knowing to let it, being wise enough to let that happen. And then the Spirit of understanding, which is to attend, to consider, to diligently instruct, to receive instruction. That's a hard one for us. Remember when we went over that? And to allow, to perceive a thing and to regard it as being good. That's what understanding is. When you understand something, you perceive it to be good. Now, we'll get into the next one. The next Spirit of God is counsel. Advise and consult is what counsel means in the Greek. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. Now, we know without people giving us counsel and without discussing things and seeking counsel, we're going to become weak. Now, it'd be real good for me to surround myself. Now, and tell me, correct me, brothers and sisters, if I'm wrong, but isn't it a good thing for me to surround myself with everybody who is going to just buckle underneath everything I say? Nobody that will ever. Right, okay? That's just wrong, isn't it? Because sometimes wise counsel is going to go against what I want. Wise counsel is going to tell me the truth, though the truth may not be fitting to me. It may upset me. And sometimes, usually, now I can't speak for you all, but I can tell you in my own life situations, a lot of times I already know what the counsel that is going to be against me is. Because the Lord has already prepared it in my heart. I know I have my way that I want to go, but then I have this that I'm looking at that this is probably what I should do, but I'm going to do this. And then when we receive that counsel, that kind of puts a burr in our saddle anyway. Because we know it's right. Ain't nothing worse than mom and dad being right, is it, Sarah? But I tell you, it don't just stop at mom and dad. It'll be employers, it'll be husband, it'll be there's always somebody that's going to be right that you're not going to be happy about. Right? Especially when you make a good, valiant stand. Our next scripture is Proverbs 12:15. It says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes." Now, though your class done been through Kings, right? We know in Kings, what was it? Almost. Well, we know in Kings it says, "And in that time, every man done that which was right in his own eyes." And if we're not careful, we end up getting that way. Because I had a really good friend who has in past aligned himself with yes men because it goes smooth. No one to challenge his authority. And through the years, and I've known him, my goodness, I don't know, probably 15 years or better. And he aligned himself all through his business with yes men, yes men, yes men. People that would jump and get and grab and good idea, bad idea. Just jump at his beck and call. He'd show up. You got dinner plans? If they had dinner plans with their wife? No. We're not doing anything. Why? Well, good. You go to dinner with me. And off they go. Always having just people jump at it. And you only told me, I'd like to see somebody just stand against me and say no one time. So we don't want to always do just what seems right in our own eyes. We need to seek that counsel. Now the rest of that verse says, "But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Now, how is it that he that listens to counsel is wise? Well, now we as kids understand, we listen to mom and dad's counsel or we get in trouble. Right? Can I tell you, it works the same way, Sarah, when we grow up. You just sitting there, you'd be my target tonight. When you grow up, it's the same thing. You listen to wise counsel because there's trouble that comes. There's a reason that it is labeled wise counsel. Sometimes wise counsel is going to take you into territory you've never been in before. Territory we've never been in before is very uncomfortable territory. Sometimes it puts us in positions and puts us in places that we don't want to be in. But in that counsel, it is called wise counsel because it's going to keep you from a problem that you're about to get yourself into. That's why, because after all, why would you seek counsel if you weren't going to follow the direction? I have a feller coming up at work. He said, I'm not sure how to put this in. And talk about a door. And I said, well, you know, you got to do this, this, this. And I began to explain to him. And it's really not that hard if anybody's done it. You know, you got some basic things, but you struggle with it a little while on your first shot at it, but you can put it in and you seal it here and you put three screws in here and you put your shims in here and you be sure you caulk around. Well, I don't think I need to do that. I think I can do it this way. No, you can't do it this way because of this, this, and this. And you need to make sure that it's plumb and it's square and it's, well, I think I can move this. No, you can't do that. And he goes, now you just can't tell me I can't do it that way. And I said, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. I can't tell you. You're going to buy this, you're going to go home and do it your way, and then you're going to have to go somewhere else to get the right stuff to fix it because you won't come back in here and ask me. So you really think that I need to put that long screw in up there at the top, but I don't understand why it has to be any... And see, the reasoning come when he realized what he was doing. Sometimes the picture we have in our mind, even though it may... seem like it works. How many started something? Come on, guys. How many of you start putting something together and then you realize, maybe where did the instructions go? How many of you get the solder furniture and you got like 12 pieces on it and you got 4 pieces left and you don't know where they go, so you got to go back and go, oh, I'm supposed to take that off first. So you got to back everything out, right? Wise counsel. That's what them instructions are in there, people. Instructions are wise counsel. It's there for a reason. Okay? So I want to make sure that we get the wisest counsel that we can. In chapter 15, verse 22, it says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, purposes are established. Why would they be established? Because with good counsel, it'll follow through. And when it follows through, that's why one of the spirits of God is counsel. Is good counsel. Now, what kind of God would he be, Scott, if he saved you and just said, go get it, I ain't going to tell you nothing, you'll figure it out on the way? Well, that wouldn't be much of a God. Who wants to serve a God who's just going to say, Joan, you're saved, now go do it. You know, if you fall, you fall. If you don't, you don't. Maybe you find somebody to help you. But he speaks to us all through. Now, I know we get so hammered on deciding whether it's conviction so that we can stay. Look, folks, let's live out of the do's and don'ts. Let's live in to the leadership of God and His counsel that speaks to us. And when you have that counsel that God's Spirit is giving you, stay with that counsel. His counsel will never go against His Word. His counsel is never going to lead you into a strange place. You'll never have that check and say, boy, this is wrong, I better not do this. His counsel ain't going to do that. Am I right, brothers? The Spirit of God will counsel us all through the day. I don't know about you all, but Rick, there's sometimes I'm getting up and I'm getting ready for work and I may be sitting there eating breakfast with Cheryl and God's counseling me right now. Now, you know when this happens, don't get upset. It's just one of them things. And this could happen. And He's already counseling with my spirit, already talking to us. When you're driving down the road and somebody pulls out in front of you, you got counsel. Is the best thing to do to holler and scream? No, because now they shoot you. I mean, it ain't like they blow their horn at you anymore. They run you down and shoot you. But the counsel of God is so that we are Christ-like individuals. It's so much better if He can talk to Andrea before it ever starts to happen and get you suited and ready. And you say, got that in the bag. I knew that was going to happen. I'm not going to respond that way. Because most people are looking for you to respond adversely to everything that you say. Everything that they say. Some, and I guess to put it in the easiest way, some of them are just walking around with a chip on their shoulder waiting for somebody to knock it off. Doing what they can. Just waiting. Sometimes they go into a place and if it's into the bank, you're the one that they're going to dump on because it's your turn. Look, those people don't have the Spirit of God. You do. And again, it goes to the oldest, I guess, saying that we have. What would Jesus do if that individual come up to Him? If Jesus was standing next to you and He said, okay, I'll take the register for a minute. You watch this. And this person comes up and they're belligerent and just have an attitude. How would Jesus handle it? And that's what the Spirit of counsel does. He will counsel us in a minute. It takes us a minute to step back and to take a breath before we react. Now, with me and Rick, I can wait a minute on reacting to him. or me and Scott, or me and Robbie, or me and Rick, or me and Rick. I can take a minute and listen and not react. But can I tell you that same, hear me now, that same spirit of counsel is present when I'm dealing with my wife, or my brother, or my sisters. We're real quick to bam, smack family because we can get away with it. We can attack and come back later. That is not the spirit that God has gave us. The same respect that I give you, I should be more respectful to my family and to strangers. We should. It's the same spirit of counsel that works with me and you, that's going to work with me and Cheryl, and going to work with me and strangers. If I allow it. If we reject one facet of God, we are rejecting the whole Godhead. Because I can tell you, if you reject His counsel, you won't have understanding in the matter, you won't have wisdom in the matter, and you sure won't have His Spirit. Because after I attack, what do? I say, oh, well, if you're not doing nothing on Sunday, why don't you come to our church? It don't work that way, does it? So we need to allow counsel to take place. And our last one, a ton of the rest of these attributes of God, spirits of God, these seven spirits of God, tons of it appears in the book of Proverbs. You're going to find tons of scripture on counsel, tons of scripture on wisdom, on knowledge, on understanding. It's just going to be full of it. But I'll just give you a few. In chapter 19, verse 20, it says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction." He could have stopped at that right there and not said nothing else. Just left that alone. But the rest of the scripture says that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. So we need to hear it. And I don't think he's talking about the latter end of my life. I think he's talking about the latter end of whatever thing that I'm going through. If I will hear. And I know we sometimes when we hear counsel, the first thing we think of is, if I'm going through a situation, Rick, I need you to talk me through it. Tell me what to do. That is good to get counsel from brothers and sisters. That's what you all are here for, to help me through my daily life. But can I tell you, you need the counsel of the Spirit of God when you're out doing your job, when you're at school. I can't come and say, oh, well, Sarah, since they said that, let me tell you how to handle that. She's got to rely on God. And when Debbie's out writing up the patients and getting them ready, I can't say, oh, Debbie, let me tell you, you know, just sit in the chair next to you and counsel you all day. Can't do that. But she can rely on her relationship with the Spirit of God, who will counsel us in every situation that we go into. He will give us that strength. He will give us that knowledge, that wisdom, everything that we got right here. Now, the next spirit is a spirit of might. The definition of that is valor, victory, mastery, and power. How many people know what mastery is? I tell you what happened. Here's what Moses done. Moses was coming down off the hill, and they were all down there doing their worshiping on the golden calf. And they said, well, it sounds like the shout of victory. And Moses said, no, it's not for mastery over sins. Mastery is just what it says. When you have a hold of some, now this is a spirit of God. When you have a hold, you are master over that sin. The Spirit of God gives us that ability. Jesus gave us power through the cross over sin. We do not have to serve sin. We do not have to serve our emotions. We do not have to serve our anger. We do not have to serve our flesh. We do not have to serve these things. Because you have the Spirit of God residing in you, who has made you a valor, a victor, a soldier. Well, Ephesians tells us in 6:10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." His might is able to conquer all things. His might is able to make us prevail. Even though there's times in our life when we don't see how it's ever going to come out. Me and a brother was just talking about this recently. Times when we don't see how it's going to come out, it seems like God just works it out. And that's where we have to put our trust in, but we have to also allow that to come into us. We have to allow that, let that knowledge sink in, that we have that. I am a victor. I know there's mornings when you wake up and you don't feel like a victor. I know there's situations that you go in day to day and you don't feel like a victor. I know there's going to be times when depression is going to come just through the window. You open it up to hear the birds sing and pow! Depression's going to hit you and you don't feel like it. But can I tell you, by the Word of God, you need to hold on to the Scriptures of God and know you are a victor in Christ. You rise above it. No matter what the situation is. It may not work out right now like we want it to, right? Sometimes we got to endure things. But you have the power through a risen Christ and the one that is living in you that you are a victor to overcome that. When depression tries to attach itself to you, instead of sitting there and just thinking about all the things that you don't have, throw you in some worship music. I don't know how to put it any other way. Make yourself happy. I'm telling you, standing in front of you, you cannot whistle and sing and be mad. It's to the point now, when I come through Lowe's, if I'm whistling, people go, what are you mad about? Not a thing. I'm not going to be mad. You can't do it. Whistle Andy Griffith and Gomer Pyle, the introductory songs to those, and you cannot be mad. You will come out, I guarantee it. Why? Because when your heart is making melodies, it goes right in. You're a Christian. You're made for worship. So you go from that melody straight into worship. And when you go into worship, you can't help but to connect to God. And when you connect to God, look what you have working for you. You have a counsel that says, hey, Rick, it's not going to be that bad. You're going to be able to make it. Let me give you some wisdom. You done been reading this. Let me give you these scriptures. Let me give you some understanding of the situation. Know that my Spirit is living with you. Know that God has made you a victor. He's given you the power, He's given you the Spirit, and He's given you the authority over the principalities and the powers. Where? They're just circling around. They're circling around seeing who they can get. Just like a lion. Now, the last two go so much hand in hand. And one is the spirit of knowledge, and the other is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is not, Sarah, you straighten up, or I'm going to whop you in the head with a stick. And God's not God, a guardian angel standing here with a ball bat and saying, as soon as you get that line, I'm going to bust her a good one. That's not what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is reverencing Him. I could spend 3 hours on reverencing God alone. And we everyone know it. We don't have to, you don't have to have me say, this is where we fail, this is where we fail, this is where we fail. We know in ourselves where we fail. And we pull ourselves away when it starts getting close to us. But I'm telling you, that's one of the spirits that live in you is a reverence of God, and that's how you know when you don't do it. That's how you know, because it's in you. And I wouldn't say the spirit of counsel is saying you need to repent and respect me. That's what reverence is. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. To reverence Him is a beginning of knowledge. Why? Because if you reverence Him, you're going to listen to His counsel. You're going to receive His wisdom. I'll go through the whole list. You're going to receive His understanding. You're going to have the Spirit of the Lord. You're going to know that you're mine. All of this is going to come in when you reverence God. Have any of you ever worked for an employer or had a boss over you that you couldn't respect? Did it make you want to do anything for him? Didn't it make it harder for you to work? Does it make it harder for you to do things right when you see them doing it wrong, even though we know we should? But I'm talking about our Adam man getting a little bit stronger in us and stepping up, pushing spirit out of the way. Why should I be on time? They ain't. Amen. Why should I do it? They ain't. They stand around and talk. Why shouldn't I? But if you reverence that person and you respect that person, and they stick to their end of the deal, don't you know, I'm going to give them 100%. I better not be messing around because they mean business, right? Well, don't we think God means business? Don't we think He's someone that we should reverence? I used to, I don't know, maybe none of y'all think like I do. I know Rick does because me and him talk about it a lot. But I used to think, why do I got to do it if He's getting away with it, God? And I was doing that about everything. Everything God would talk to me about. Why do I got to do it if Kay's getting away with it? Well, Scott's getting away with it. He's going to heaven. Why do I got to do it? And the Lord dropped something in me in prayer, Rick, that just about knocked me over. He said, where I'm concerned, nobody gets away with anything. You just take care of you. I'll take care of them. I was like, okay. I can receive that. And that's how He taught me reverence. Your business ain't my business. Unless I see you in sin, and then it's my business. It's my duty to warn you and to bring you back into fellowship. But to think that God has told me something that you're not doing, that's none of my business. Well, surely if it was wrong, God'd tell Rick too, wouldn't He? How do I know He ain't? So am I going to stand before God? And now listen, and I actually thought about this, and I hope you don't mind me using you, brother. But I thought, well, I'll just get in judgment, and I'll say, He did it. And God said, yeah, He lived in disobedience. Where does that leave me? Oh. If the blind lead the blind, both. Didn't say one of them. Didn't say the one that was leading would fall in the ditch and the other one. It said they both do. Says that they, Satan can transform himself into an angel of light and they can get a lie, believe a lie, and be damned. Is that not what it says? The reverencing God is a very serious matter. And I know it sounds like, well, this ain't real edifying right now. Well, the edification comes when we stand up and realize He is God. All by Himself, without my help, and I'll go one even further, for me. He is God whether I live for Him or not. He is God whether I get saved or not. He's God and He's majestical, if that's a word. It is. Good. He is fantastic. He is awesome. He is powerful. If I choose to turn, close my Bible, walk out of here and never serve Him a day, He's still on His throne. Things are still going to come to pass. And because He told him, He said, hey, I still am. You choose not to believe, it don't change who I am. It don't change what I am. You choose to change the way you are. You choose not to listen to me. It don't change me at all. It don't change the outcome. It changes the outcome for me. It won't change the outcome for Rick. No matter how much I kick and squall and say, well, Rick and Eric called me a name and they're making faces at me and they said my tie's ugly and Brad, when he was here, didn't like my pink shirt and that's why God, and God's going to say, this is my word. What did you do with it? But they, they're in line. I'm dealing with you. I'll get to them. And you know, the more I thought about that, the more I thought, I don't know. Because, I don't know, I'm sure Ricky never did this when he got in trouble, but some kids do, like me. Bargain. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, okay? While you're trying to get the coverage straightened out in your mind. I'm going to tell you, and you're trying to come up with a good lie that'll get you out of trouble. Well, God's not going to be that way. Whatever the excuse I have, He's going to say, I got that covered in a minute, we're talking about you. It don't matter what Carly did. It matters what you did. Through that is where I learned reverence to God. Through that is where I learned to respect His decision is final. Now, not for a minute do I want you to get a picture in your mind of some big, mean man sitting on the throne again with a stick waiting to whop somebody. It's not him. But He's a beautiful, wonderful King. Wanting. Look, He's wanting, yearning, doing everything He can. Gave His Son so that you can come. And Rick and Scott and Robbie and myself and even people talking, I said, I don't know that I could give my child for you. But God did that so that we can come. And He's given us everything we need to win. He's empowering us to win. He has surrounded me with an army to help me on. Even in my weakest, smallest time, all I have to do is call. Not only on the angels, not only on God, but to call on you. I mean, I believe if I just needed to ball, I could call you and say, Scott, can you come over? I need to ball for a while. There's not a time when I can't go to Cheryl and say, hey, I need to ball. Or I can call Penny and say, Penny, I'm down, I'm depressed, I need to ball. Can you come over and ball with me? God has fixed us to win. So don't get a picture of Him. He just wants to be reverenced. That's what He created us for. Now we have Proverbs 2:3. It says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou wilt seek her as silver, and search for her as a hid treasure. And I thought of that when I wrote that scripture down this evening. I thought, I wonder if I went after knowledge, just like the scripture says, the way we would go after money. If we would go after knowledge the way, I don't know about y'all, but when I first started working and I found out I can do something and get money for it, I wanted to do more. And God's saying, if we'll get in our head, that if we'll start to obtain my knowledge and we'll seek it, we'll get more. And we'll hunger for it. We'll hunger to know more. He says, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, let me read this again. It says, Proverbs 2:3. Everybody turn there. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. I want you to see this. Proverbs 2:3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Does that mean that it's capable for you as a man to find the knowledge of God? Absolutely. Do you mean you can start to look at things like God would? Absolutely. Look, the scripture would never tell us to do this if it couldn't be done. I know it seems so outlandish because we spend so much time in our carnal world, it's sometimes a challenge for us to even read script. Well, I'll say for me. Sometimes it's a challenge to even open up and I read like, I don't know, anywhere from five to a chapter. And I'm like, what did I even read? I mean, I read, and while my eyes was reading, I was at work, I was fishing, I was fixing supper, I was going to the grocery, but I don't know that I tuck anything in. So I'm clearing my mind, and I'm going to read again. And I don't know if it's helped anybody. I just want you to know you ain't the only one that goes through this. So I clear my mind, and I start to read again. And before I get to the end of the chapter, I'm like, now where did I lose it? How did my mind wander off again? I ain't getting nothing. And then something says, you just want to close it up. You ain't getting nothing right now anyway. Can I tell you, according to God's Word, there's not one word on one of these pages that you will read and take into your spirit that does not do you good. Whether your immediate memory can recall it and you know what's going on, it says God's Word will do what it is sent to do. And if you put it in there, put it in there, put it in there, it'll come forth when you need it. It will. I promise you, it will. You may not. Robbie will be preaching and you'll go, I remember reading that. Well, how can you remember reading that if you didn't remember none of it? So put yourself in there and allow yourself to get this knowledge that God has. It's hid like a treasure. You got to look for it. Have you ever thought, where do you find silver at? Do they just walk along and scoop silver up off the ground? Most silver is in the deepest caverns, and they find it in small veins. Well, when the man, and I don't know if any of y'all have done any reading on silver mines, it's amazing. But when you're in the mine and you see this little vein like this, they don't just chip it out and take that little piece and say, I got me some silver. They follow that vein as far as it runs and get all of it they can. Why? Because it has value. When you start running references and you start letting yourself get into the Word of God, you will run knowledge. Because the more you run it, the more it feeds you. Have you ever really, you got into a Bible study and you're sitting there on your own and you're going through it and you kind of get, I just call it giddy up. You want to go. You want more. And it's good and it's better. That's the way it is whenever you start following that vein. And that's why I tell you to seek like silver. It's not going to be easy just to scoop up. But why is it that God would demand such reverence and almost seem like, Rick, He makes it hard for you to find it? Because treasures are hid, right? We see the little maps. It's got all the little dots and the X, and you got to go through this and this and find it. Why would God do that? Because along this deep search, one thing, you're spending time with Him. Second thing, you're learning more and more about Him as you go. I don't know if you've ever run references, but if you haven't, you're missing a great opportunity because it'll open up another scripture. And then it'll open up another scripture. And before you know it, you're over here and you was over here looking for this over here, but you ended up over here. So you already know this. So now you can pack up that silver, take it. You got this knowledge. You can take it, pack up and head where you was going. Because, and I'll tell you what happened to me sometimes is I'll go back after I've got all of this good stuff that I found over here running this reference. Rick, I'll get there, and after I get all this, I'm like, man, this is really good. Now I'm going to go back and study what it was before I run off over there, and all of a sudden what it was, it's lost its luster. Because the Spirit got you on that trail going that way, but He led you over there to feed you. He will lead you into pastures. Why would He lead you into a pasture? Why do you take sheep into a pasture? So they can't eat? No, you take them there so they can. What happens to sheep that eat? They become healthy. They become strong. They're able to stand. One more. Proverbs 9 and 10, since you're there, if you want to flip over there to me. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, I know most of the King James Version says holy. The correct translation there would probably be the Holy One. And that's what that is. When you look up in the Hebrew, what he meant was simply that. The fear of the Lord, reverencing God, is the beginning of wisdom. Well, I don't know about you, but it's wise to reverence God. Life gets a whole lot easier when you do. When you respect what He says, you respect His decisions, you respect what He's doing in your life. And it's like I said Sunday, you know, a lot of times we pray, God, I want Your will. I want Your will. I want Your will. And God says, okay, Scott, here's Your will. What's the other will? I wasn't really talking about that will. Okay, here's the other will. Well, not that one. I'll tell you what, let me tell you my will and you tell me how you're going to work it out. Sometimes we do that, right? So the fear and the respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom because it's wise to follow Him. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Because when you have that knowledge of God, when you start to get the knowledge of the Scriptures and you know His attribute, you do begin to understand more. How many of you understand more of the Bible today than you did a year ago? How many of you understand more of the Bible today than you did the day you got saved? Now, does that mean that Sarah is going to know more than I know? Possibly. Does that mean I can know more than Rick knows? Possibly. Why? Because some of us search for treasure and some of us don't. I can say that because I know for some years when I first got saved, all of the treasure I searched out was what the man of God stood in the pulpit and gave me. I didn't go home and read. That's His job. Preach me and teach me. I ain't got time for that. He's got to make me feel good. Preach me happy. I've been a mess all week. Preach me happy. And I don't know about you all. I mean, I can feel your pain. I can tell you for sure that it is hard to whittle out time for God. But you know what I found out? You know what I figured out about that? The reason it is so hard for us to read and study at home and worship. I don't know about you, but if you ain't worshiping at home, you're missing a good opportunity. I should do it more. But I tell you why we don't do it. Because it is the easiest thing in our life to push to the back burner. We can let it go. I like to see the hand of one person in this room that has not, and in that room back there, that has not woke up and said, I'm going to read or pray or study this amount of time with God, and through the day, it gets shoved further and further and further. And then you're looking at the last hour before you go to bed, and you just don't feel like it. Because Ian and Austin are screaming, and the dishes are dirty, and whatever it is. You just don't feel like it, and you don't do it. And you say, I know you do the same dreaded thing I do. I'll get you tomorrow, God. Bless me with a good night's sleep, please. I'll see you tomorrow. And tomorrow you start off, I'm going to do it. And the same thing starts. Until you say, no, it's not happening. The grass will keep growing. The dishes will stay dirty. The laundry will pile up. I'm going in here and I'm going to spend time with God. And then all of a sudden you have time and you come out. And you know what? The grass didn't grow that much. The dishes aren't that dirty. And the laundry's not that far backed up. Everything's just a whole lot better. Why? Because you brought these seven spirits that God has dumped in you with His Son. Look, we've got God. I don't know if you would. The Trinity. You got the whole Trinity in you. And all seven of these attributes living in you, waiting to burst forth in every day and every aspect of your life. But it's just like silver and treasure. We got to seek it. Now, turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And let's start off at verse number 1, and this is where it all comes from. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch that shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Those are the seven spirits. This scripture exploded in me simply because here's Isaiah prophesying about Jesus, trying to get them to see how great He's going to be. And back here, John has a revelation of Jesus and says those seven spirits are still with Him today. From that time to John seeing Him through the end of time, that's what we have to realize. When John seen Jesus, it was all the way through the complete end of time. Those same seven spirits still rested with Him. Are they seven magnificent things just to make us go, oh, God's awesome? Absolutely not. It's seven spirits to reside in you to help you deal with this world today. That's what our gods give us. That's all I got. Anybody have any questions?